Some people just don't like to make decisions. They'd be happy if they could live their lives without ever having to make a decision, without ever having difficult choices to make between varying options. You know, they'd like everything to be just real clear, cut and dried, black and white, unmistakable, you know, never any questions. I mean, this is the thing to do, and I'm going to do it. There's no question about it. Wouldn't that make life so much simpler if you could live like that? And so very, totally, absolutely boring, right? I mean, I'm glad God gives us alternatives and that there is variety in life. But the possibility of variety means the absolute necessity of decisions. I mean, if you have a choice of two ways to go, then you've got a decision to make. And we're going to face them every day of our lives. When we're young, they're very simple decisions, like, what do I want for Christmas? I mean, that's what the kids are thinking about now. Now that we're in November, they start going through the catalogs and picking out what they want for Christmas. And then a little while after that, it'll be what they wear. And who do I want for my friends? And what courses am I going to take? And who am I going to date? They're the things. After that, it's what career shall I pursue? Or what college shall I attend? Whom shall I marry? Then it's where are we going to live? And what car are we going to buy? And what church are we going to attend? And how many kids are we going to have? And are we going to let them pursue this kind of behavior or are we not? Or shall I accept this new position or shall I not? Shall we invest this money if we have any money to invest? And then it's, should we put our folks in a rest home or keep them with us? And after that, it's, should we try to make it on our own or should we enter a life care facility? And after that, it's, what kind of memorial service do I want and where do I want my survivors to bury me? But decisions, all of our lives. Most of us, when we make decisions, want to do the best thing. I mean, any intelligent person wants to do the best thing. And if we're walking with God, we want to do the best thing from God's perspective. We'd really like to know what is best as God sees things. We want to know His mind on the matter. We'd like to have guidance and direction from above and know that God has led us. The Bible makes it abundantly clear that God is in the business of providing that kind of direction for people who want it. I mean, if you want to know God's will, if you want direction from God, God says He's going to make it available to you. I think one of the most often quoted passages in the Bible on the subject of divine guidance is Proverbs chapter 3, verses 5 and 6. Most of you probably could say it by memory. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. In all your ways acknowledge Him, and He shall direct your paths. Great promise from God. All hinges around that word direct. He shall direct your paths. It's a verb that means three things, as far as my study has been able to uncover. Three primary meanings. It means to make smooth, to make straight, and to make right. Smooth, straight, and right. And because it means first to make smooth, some have contended that this verse has nothing to do with divine guidance. It's a very popular book on the market on finding and knowing the will of God that says there is no center of God's will, no plan for your life. You can choose many different things in areas outside of the Scripture. And he says this verse doesn't have anything to do with divine guidance. It has to do with prosperity and success in life. If you keep these three things, if you trust in the Lord with all your heart, lean not to your understanding, and all your ways acknowledge Him, then God's going to make your life smooth. He's going to make it pleasant. He's going to make it successful, prosperous. And I don't happen to agree with that. I have to grant that it could mean that, because that's one of the meanings of the word. But remember that it has two other primary meanings as well. Not only to make smooth, but to make straight and to make right. And to make straight could just as well mean to guide us on the most direct route to accomplishing God's purposes for our lives. to make straight, to make it straight to the goal. As a matter of fact, the word is used that way in other places in the Bible, like where Hezekiah made a tunnel from the spring of Gihon into the city of Jerusalem. It says, and he made it straight. In other words, he took the most direct route to get to where he wanted to go with that tunnel. So the word can mean to make the most direct route to a particular goal. And to make our paths right could just as easily mean to guide us along the best course to the best ends. The right way, you see. One of the most widely used and reliable Hebrew commentaries makes this comment about this verse, and I'd like to read it. It's about these people who trust in the Lord and lean not to their own understanding and acknowledge Him in all the ways. It says, making plain their path before them, that is, by leading them directly to the right end and removing all hindrances out of their way. And the idea of direction is clearly there. And I think the King James translation of this verse is exactly what was in Solomon's mind when he wrote it. He's talking about God leading our paths, God directing us, God showing us the way He wants us to go. So, are you facing a decision? Are you saying to yourself, what do I do now? Which way do I turn? What course do I take? Do you want to make the best choice in that decision? Do you want to follow the best road, the best path to the best destination? Is that what you want? And there's three things you need to do. They're right here. This is God's promise. You meet the conditions, God will keep His part of the bargain. Number one is trust in the Lord with all your heart. And that word trust means to lean on something reliable, to put your confidence in something solid and stable and secure and dependable, so that as a result you feel safe and you feel secure. This summer when Mary and I were in Flagstaff, we were ministering with United Indian Mission. We took a few hours one morning and with Don and Donna Frederick, the director of the mission, and his wife, and we ran over to the Grand Canyon just for a few hours. While we were there, somebody said, come over here and look at this. And I came over, and I leaned over and looked down this sheer drop of several hundred feet. But I was leaning on this railing, and I suddenly realized, I am really trusting this railing. You know, I mean, it was trustworthy, at least it looked it. It was embedded in concrete, and it looked like it was pretty safe. And I was leaning on it, but I was putting my whole weight on it because I trusted it. I felt safe leaning on it as I gazed at that spectacular view in front of me. Now, God says, lean on Him. Put your whole weight on Him. Lean on Him with your whole heart. Express confidence in His sovereign power, His matchless wisdom, His unceasing faithfulness, His unending love. Express your confidence in it. Lean on Him. Believe that He's there, that He's in control of every circumstance, that He'll guide you, that He'll show you His way, and that His way is best, whether or not you understand it, whether or not it works out just like you would want it to work out, whether or not it seems to be successful or whether it doesn't. Trust Him. If you've desired for God to guide you, you want Him to guide you, and you've asked Him to guide you, believe that He has guided you. Trust Him, even if it's not exactly the way you hoped it would be. Find all your security and your safety in that confidence that God is in control of your life and God is directing you. That's trusting the Lord with all your heart. Now, I suspect that many of us misplace our trust when we're looking to make a decision, when we're evaluating various options and trying to decide which way we ought to go. We may trust something other than the Lord with all our hearts. We may trust our own insight or the pros and cons of the situation. That may be the thing we trust more than anything else, the pros and the cons. Or we may trust the advice of knowledgeable friends or some expert's opinion of future trends or the way the circumstances fall. There are lots of different things that many of us trust when we have a decision to make. Now, all those things might be helpful. I'm not saying any of them are wrong, but they are not to be the object of our trust. The verse says, trust in the Lord with all your heart. And trusting in the Lord entirely means trusting in the Lord exclusively. And that's the thing Solomon wants to talk about next. Because that's really the basic idea in this next exhortation. Not only trust in the Lord with all your heart, but lean not to your own understanding. Trusting Him entirely with all your heart means trusting Him exclusively. Don't lean on anything else specifically, your own understanding. Now, the word to lean is a synonym for the word trust. It means much the same thing. It means to lean on someone or something as a support, as you would lean on a staff or on the arm of a friend. God wants us to lean on Him rather than on anything else, and rather particularly than on our own understanding. That is, our own insight, our own intellect, our own wisdom, our own evaluation of the situation. Lean on Him, not ourselves. So often we think we have it all figured out. You know, I've studied this issue, I've thought it through, I've looked at all sides of it, and this is the way to go, and here are 15 good reasons why this is the best thing to do. Why I should decide to do this rather than do that. I've got it all figured out. Now, I think it's important to see, the passage does not say, do not use your understanding. It says, do not lean on your understanding. And that's important. I mean, that's a fine distinction, I acknowledge, but it's an important distinction. Because there is a difference. God gave us brains to use, and He wants us to use them. He gave us the ability to observe, to think, to reason, and He wants us to use that ability, to exercise it. He gave us common sense, and He wants us to use our common sense. He wants us to use these things, but not to lean on them, not to put our trust in them. People who refuse to use their heads remind me of the story about the man who was caught in a flood. And he climbed up on the roof of his house, and the water was rising rather rapidly. Got up to his ankles while he was on the roof of the house. And a boat came by and said, climb in. The fellow said, climb in, we'll save you. He said, oh, no, I'm trusting the Lord. Well, he waited a while, and the water kept rising, got up to his waist. And another boat came by. The fellow in the boat said, climb in, we'll save you. He said, oh, no, I'm trusting the Lord. Well, the water kept coming up, you know, and got up to his neck. And a helicopter came over, and a fellow cried out, you know, from the loudspeaker of the helicopter, you know, let us throw you a ladder and we'll save you. He says, no, go on, I'm trusting the Lord. Well, as you might imagine, you know, the water finally swept him away, and he lost his life. Came into heaven, and he said, Lord, I mean, he was really unhappy, complaining, Lord, I was trusting you, and you let me down. God said, no, I didn't. I sent you two boats and a helicopter, you know. God gave us brains to use, and He wants us to use them. But don't lean. Don't trust your understanding. Trust God. Jeremiah warned the people of his day about trusting their own evaluation of things, their own insight. He said it kind of in a prayer. It's in Jeremiah 10:23. Oh Lord, he said, I know the way of man is not in himself. It is not in man who walks to direct his own way. In other words, we don't have the ability to direct our own lives. We may think we do, but we really don't. God says, yeah, use what you've got, what I've given to you, but don't put your trust in it because it's not infallible. It can be untrustworthy. Things aren't always the way they appear to be. If we put our confidence in our own reasoning powers, we're going to be led astray. All right, how are we going to know whether we're using our own understanding or whether we are trusting our own understanding? What makes the difference? Well, I don't have any full and complete answer to that, but I think I can make one suggestion that might be helpful. If you want to evaluate whether or not you're trusting your understanding or whether you're just using the abilities and resources that God has given you, then examine or evaluate your first inclination or your first move when you have a decision to make. What's the first thing you do? Is the first thing you do to sit down and list the advantages and the disadvantages of each option? Is that what you do? Then you're probably trusting your own human evaluation of those advantages and disadvantages and pros and cons. If that's the first thing you think of to do, that's probably foremost in your mind. So you're resting in that, you see. Is your first inclination to run to a special friend whom you consider to have a special amount of wisdom and knowledge about things generally, and so you seek that person's advice before anything else? Is that your first thought? Then you're probably trusting that person rather than the Lord. If that's what you would do first, then in all probability, you're leaning on that person. Is your first inclination to check out the financial benefits of each option? If I go here, I make this much money. If I go here, I make that, and I'll be able to save so much and put this much away for my retirement. Is that the first option? I mean, the first inclination you have? First thing you think about and the first thing you do? Then in all probability, your trust is in money and the things money can buy and the security you think money can bring you. You're trusting in money, you see. But if our trust is in the Lord, if we're leaning on Him, then in all probability, the first thing we will do when we face a decision is go to Him in prayer and ask Him to guide us. Ask Him to reveal what He wants us to do, what would be best from His perspective. And then go to the Word and see if it has anything to say that has bearing on this decision we need to make. If we're leaning on the Lord, we're going to talk to Him and we're going to search His Word first. We may do these other things. Nothing in the world wrong with any of them. We can use everything and everyone that God makes available to us to help us come to a sound decision. But if we're leaning on the Lord, we're going to use it all in an attitude of prayer and dependence upon the Lord, conscious dependence on Him, leaning hard upon Him and on His Word. Lean not on your own understanding. I think there was a story in Our Daily Bread a few years ago that illustrates this principle of trusting God and leaning on Him completely. It's a story about a group of botanists who were on an expedition into a hard-to-reach location in the Alps, searching for new varieties of flowers. And as they were traveling, using their binoculars, this one scientist spotted down in a deep ravine a species of flower that was rare and extremely precious. And they wanted to get to it and get it. But in order to get down there, someone would have to be lowered down by a rope to pick the flower and then brought up out of the gorge again. Noticing a local youngster nearby, the scientist asked him if he would be willing to get the flower for him and explain how he'd do it. They'd tie the rope around him, and then these men would lower him into the floor of the canyon, and he'd pick the flower, and then they would pull him back up again. There'd be no danger. The rope was strong, and the men were reliable, and he was rather excited about the possibility, but a little bit apprehensive as he looked down into that chasm in front of him. And he said, "Well, wait just a minute." And he ran away for a few minutes and returned a little while later, accompanied by an older man. And he came to the head botanist and he said, "You know, I'll go over the cliff now and I'll get that flower for you, but this man has to hold the rope. He's my dad. See, I'm willing to use all the stuff that you guys got here, you know, all these ropes and all this equipment and all these resources and all these other men, but I want my dad's hand on that rope too. See, because he's the one I trust. He's the one I rely on. He's not going to let me down." His trust was in his dad. You see, that's the point here. We can use all of these resources that God makes available to us, everything that's at our disposal. But if we want to make wise decisions, and if we want to go the right way, then we'll put our trust in the Lord alone. He's the one we hang on to. He's the one we want with his hands on the rope. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding. But there's one more thing we need to do if we want to know God's direction in our lives. And that is acknowledge Him in all your ways. Acknowledge Him. The word means basically to recognize Him. That might be closer to the major idea of the word. It means literally to know, when we get right down to it. God wants us to have an intimate acquaintance with Him in all of our ways, in every situation of life. He wants us to recognize that He's present there in every circumstance. Whatever circumstance it is, God is there. He wants us to understand that and aware that He's with us and have regard for Him in our actions in that circumstance. He's with us all the time and lives in us through His Holy Spirit. He wants us to think about that and be aware of it. I mean, it's more than just a tip of the hat to God, you know, in a casual, "Sure, I know God's here. Yeah, I know God's with me. Sure. So what?" It means to let Him be a vital and integral part of every situation. To share it with Him. To talk to Him about it. Like He was the most intimate friend we had, because that's exactly what He is. Or at least what He wants to be. He wants to be our best friend. So let Him. You would talk everything over your best friend. You'd hold nothing back. Nothing's too small for him to be bothered with. Nothing. Nothing's too big for him to handle. So acknowledge his presence in it and his concern about it in everything. Acknowledge him in all your ways. Now that's not to suggest we have to worry about what he wants us to do in every little decision of life. Oh dear, now what am I going to do with this here? Now what? Wonder what God wants me to do here. That's not the point. We don't need to worry about those things. He doesn't want us to worry about anything. He says that in Philippians 4, 6, and 7. Don't worry about anything. But he does want us to let him be part of everything we do. Everything in life. Everything. And when we allow him to do that, when we acknowledge him in all of our ways, then he's going to direct the whole course of our lives. That's what he says. If we acknowledge him in all our ways, he will direct our paths. He's going to guide us on the best course to the best ends. That's what he means when he says he'll direct our paths. You're going to know what to do next. You're going to make a wise decision. And you'll have no need to second guess that decision either. To say, uh-oh, you know, that didn't turn out right. Maybe I made a mistake back there. Maybe I really didn't find God's will. Christians don't need to say that if they're desirous of doing what God wants them to do and have yielded their wills to him and they really want his desires for their lives. They don't have to ever say, oh, that was the wrong decision. What seems to be disappointing to us and maybe even unpleasant to us may be exactly what God knows we need at the moment. Maybe we fail in that situation. We sought God's will. We thought we found it. We fail. That's okay. Failure is a part of life. There are lessons to be learned from failure. Doesn't mean God didn't lead us. So we accept that from him and we go on and we just keep trusting him with all our hearts and refusing to lean on our own understanding and acknowledging him in all our ways and just keep walking as he wants us to go. And he keeps on directing our paths and accomplishing his own good purposes and his own good pleasure in our lives. That's Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 in action. And we come to near the end of our lives. We start getting up there in years and we realize that most of it's been spent. We can look back over it as the Apostle Paul did and say, I've fought a good fight. I've finished the course. I've kept the faith. And as a result, there's laid up for me a crown of righteousness, which the Lord, the righteous judge, shall give all those, shall give me on that day, not to me only, but all those who love his appearing. There'll be a reward for walking the course God lays out before us. So are you facing a decision? Maybe that's why you came tonight. Because you're saying, what do I do now? Which way do I go? The first answer to that question is right here in Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. The first thing you do is put your trust in the Lord with all your heart. And while you may use a lot of the resources God has made available to make an intelligent decision, you're not going to trust them, you're going to trust him. You're going to make it a matter of prayer. You're going to talk to him about it. You're going to see what his word has to say that may have bearing on that decision. And you won't hear any voices from heaven, but you'll know the way to go. And we'll honor the Lord. And you'll feel good about it. I hope this exposition of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6 has been of help to you tonight. Because it's a great passage of Scripture. Don't let anybody take it away from you. But use it as God intended it to be used. And find direction in life. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word. It is practical and relevant and so helpful to us in every situation of life. And thanks for this light on how to know your way and make sound decisions. God, help us to use it, we pray. We're going to be tempted to use other things and go other directions because that's what the world says to do. But I pray that this great passage of Scripture will keep coming back to our minds and we'll keep living in your fellowship and trusting you with all our hearts, not leaning to our own understanding, or leaning on it, but acknowledging you in all our ways and then just enjoying walking in the center of your will. And Lord, I pray that as we walk there, you'll use us powerfully for your glory to affect other lives and bring them to a knowledge of the Savior and encourage and strengthen them in their faith. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen.